Evening, church.
I don't feel that excitement. Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, now it's way better. So it's a Brazilian. We like to be, you know, very excited and very extreme in our emotions sometimes. First, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity. Thank Pastor Ken and this church, and Chris and Jason, how they have been giving me the support on the last year that me and my wife, Danielle, in Canada. And so we feel very welcome here on this church, and thank you for that. And I think it's been a great time, not just for us, but also for some people that are just newcomers in a Christian life in Canada, and also here in this church. But I'm not gonna spend my night thinking. I'm just wanna spend my night meditating and reading and understanding a little bit more about this series of sermons that we are talking about, trials and tribulations. And this night and this evening, I would like to talk about how far and how long can we as humans and natural beings can stand, or in what extent can we hold and understand trials and tribulations. So I ask you please to open in the book of James. Book of James, chapter 1. Verses 2, and I'm going to read 2, 3, and 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's so interesting because me and my wife, we are from Brazil, and probably we have here on this audience people from different parts of the world. And doesn't matter where do you go, where are you from, we humans can have different understanding of life. We can have different perspectives of how to deal with life, but in the end, as a human beings, we are the same. We are equal. We have the same passions. We have the same ambitions. We have the same problems. We share maybe the same kind of emotions. Maybe some cultures, they show more. Maybe some cultures, they show less. But we are the same. And as Christians, we are the same. And on this passage, this specific passage on James, and I'd like to meditate a little bit on this passage, we have to understand what James was trying to tell and to teach for the church. James was dealing with a situation that I don't think it changed a lot from that time to nowadays. James was trying to solve some issues with the church, some problems, some situations. And the first situation, and it means like those people, like that church, were facing so many trials. I don't think it's a very different from today. They were being tempted to sin. And also, they were trying to live a misunderstood perception of Christianity. And James then wrote them this letter to teach them that those difficulties, those trials, those tribulations, they had a purpose. They had a special teaching. And if you go back to your Bible, you're going to see the word trials on the verse 2. And trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing, it means that trials is related with testings. So it's a very nice understanding, because sometimes we have a badly and a wrong perception about Christianity. Christianity, it's not a summer camp where everything goes fine and we can forget our external world. Christianity is not a kind of spiritual greenhouse where everything is balanced, where the temperature is balanced in a way that the plants grow in the same speed or in the same velocity or in the same perfection amount of air and humidity. And spiritual life, it's not a glass vial. Spiritual life is about trials. Spiritual life, it's about testing. One thing that I understand and I learn with James and the process of trials and tribulations and our life as humans, it's something is very clear to me. We don't like as humans to be taken away from our comfort zones. It's not nice. This afternoon, me and my wife, we were trying to cook, and suddenly she got a cut on his finger. It's, you know, those small ones, and you see it's kind of nothing, but it bothers you. It's out of comfort zone. And Christian life, it's about comfort zone. It's not a comfort zone. Our life is not a greenhouse. It's not an island of perfection. The great thing about Christian life is like we are not spared from problems, but on the problems. We are not spared from problems, but on the problems. And as a Christian, we should try to understand how can we deal with that? How can I see a specific problem, a specific trial, a specific tribulation, and how can we deal? How can we face that? And this is the most difficult part, because it takes away us from our comfort zone. And when we are lost on our comfort zone, we lose our balance, our spiritual balance, our emotional balance. So it's difficult. But there is a purpose for everything. I'd like to go now for Romans, Book of Romans. Chapter 5. Verse 1 to 4. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character, hope. And on my text here, and I use just an arrow to understand that in the end, suffering produces perseverance that produces hope. So if you want to ask what is the extension to understand how far or how long are the trials and tribulations in our life, is to produce hope. Hope in what? In Christ, by faith, through Him. Justification, and that it's Paul teaching, it's not only prepare us for heaven, but also justification, prepare us to live it here. Paul is not dealing with anything only in the future, but something that enables us to live here with victory in our tribulations, in our life of tribulation. In words of John Stott, yes, there is peace in our life. There is peace. Peace through the God, through the blood of Christ. There is peace. There is also grace. There is also glory, yes. But also, there is suffering. Also, there is pain. Also, we have problems. The Greek word for strength, kalkometa, indicates that we rejoice with great and intense jubilation. So trials and tribulations means, and we should go back to understand that those things we should rejoice. It's difficult. Because when we are not in our comfort zone, it's difficult to understand the meaning of hope, the meaning of joy or rejoicing. In other words, we rejoice not only in the target, the glory, but also in the means that lead to it, that is in the suffering. We should rejoice in our sufferings. We should rejoice because God is taking care of us. This is the first part. We need to understand the process. We need to understand why we go to sufferings or trials and tribulation to the glory God for our personal growing. My brother-in-law, he teaches electric bass. And he's a good teacher. He has so many students. And what he told me, Wilmer, no one grows smoothly. There is a price. If you want to learn something, there is a price to pay. If you want to learn about the Bible, there is a price to pay. If you want to live as a good Christian, there is a price to pay. And those prices, including trials and tribulations. The second part, what is our part in this process of trials and tribulations? Now I understood that trials and tribulations, they make me rejoice in the Lord, facing and trying to give me the guidance to live on this earth. But how can I do how to participate in this process? First, it's a process of growing. Trials and tribulations is about growing. Problems in our Christian life, it's about growing.
we become better. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by man, by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. It's a very interesting thing about there is a kind of speech that Thomas Aquinas said that it's kind of useless to discuss Christianity with a non-Christian. And I'm gonna make you understand that there is no point. He wasn't saying about preaching the gospel, but discussing, like growing as a Christian with someone who is not a Christian, because we don't have the same pillars. We don't have the same base. We don't have the same starting point. And when Paul here says to the Corinthians, we need to understand. And when he say on the first line, on the second line, this is what we speak. We speak what? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, a personal being. If the Holy Spirit is a personal being, it means that we have a relationship as a Christian with the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is a personal being, it talks to us, teach us, and we can listen. And also, it's not only a personal being, it's God itself. And if it's God itself, we need to hear. And as a Christian, when we face trials and tribulations, we need to hear the Holy Spirit. Because this is our pillar. This is our base. There is no point to face trials and tribulations alone. Chris told us this morning, Christianity is not about running the race alone. And we as a Christian do not need to suffer alone. We don't need that. Christianity is about community. And it's a very interesting point about this relationship between who can lead my life. Is it me or is it the Holy Spirit? And sometimes we have this trouble to allow the Holy Spirit works in our life. Because we, as Paul said, we are two flesh men, men in flesh. It's written in Romans 8, 7 and 9, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God
lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So what's Paul trying to say here? We are not governed by our emotions. We should not. We should not be led for our instincts, for our own nature. Also, coming back to John Stott, he summarizes, we have two categories of person. The first one, who are in the flesh, and the second one, the regenerate, who are in the spirit. And here we have two perspectives, two different dispositions of mind, two different inclinations. So when you are facing trials and tribulations, what kind of inclination you are dealing with? With your own inclination or with your Christian guided by Holy Spirit inclination? That's what we need to think. When we are not in our comfort zone, how do I face the problems? How do I see that? With my flesh, or with my non-flesh, my spirit, my Holy Spirit perspective? This is a good point. And we, as a natural man, sinners, born sinners, we have always the tendency to choose the wrong thing. It's incredible. It's incredible. We are gonna choose the wrong thing. Maybe the wrong thing in the beginning looks good for us. But if we do not have a spiritual orientation, we are gonna choose the wrong thing. We are gonna be what Paul says about a natural man, an in-flesh man. And what are the characteristics of this natural man? First, he is seeking to have a good time with all sorts of entertainment. So I need to be happy now. I'm hedonistic. The pleasure is important because I need to think about me. Doesn't matter if it's good for everybody else, needs to be good for me. In Brazil, we had elections 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, and probably you've heard something on the radio. And it's funny because the Lost Party, if you try to talk to them, they were saying that the Lost Party was good because they made something good for them. So they financial my studies, I have a good scholarship, or I could have a loan on my company. Doesn't matter if the corruption stole billions of dollars. It matters that was good for me. And sometimes we are like that. Doesn't matter the good of the community, it matters what's good for me. Be careful. It's being a natural man. And also, the third characteristic, the natural man showed the high tendency of self-protection. He wants to have control. And we, as humans, we need to have control, huh? We need to have control, but it's difficult. I was talking to a friend last week, and he has a problem to give things to God. But I need the control, Wilmar. How can I just put on the God hands? It's difficult for me. And then I told him, man,
First, you need to understand who God is. It's not about you, it's about God. If you understand who God is, then you're going to be clear and it's going to be easier for you to put in the God's hands. We cannot have control of everything. Chris, can you say to your heart to stop eating? I don't know. I know you don't want that, right? But we cannot control our hearts. Our lungs to stop breathing. Why do we need to control everything in our lives? Why? Why we have this false perspective that we need to manage everything under my circle, under my control here? No. There are things, friends, that we are not going to have control. And we should put in the God's hand. We should put in the God's hand. When the Apostle Paul says that if Christ is in us, the body is actually dead because of the sin. But the spirit is life because righteousness. We need them to understand what he is trying to say here. He's trying to say that we need to find a way by Christ, through Christ, to diminish ourselves and give space to the Holy Spirit. And then this is going to facilitate our understanding and our perspective of how to deal with trials and tribulations. It's not about the trial. They are made for us to grow. It's about how I see God in the process. How far? I don't know. How long? I don't know. Do I need to know? That's the question. Do I need to know? So, the center, in our center of our physical mortality, our spirit is alive. For we have been quickened, we come to life in Christ. Our body has become mortal because of the sin of Adam, but our spirit is alive because of the righteousness of Christ. It's not about us, it's about Christ. The trials and tribulations, they're not about us, they're about God. They are about God. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guarantees us our resurrection. Death and problems. I have to say to you, they are not the end of the line. They are not the final. Doesn't have to be the end of the world. We do not walk into just a gloomy sunset. We receive an incorruptible, immortal, powerful, glorious, spiritual, and heavenly body, similar to the blood, to the body of Jesus Christ in the glory. How can we understand that? How can we participate on that process? Let's be led by the Holy Spirit. We need to give space for the Holy Spirit. There is no point, because you know what? We are going to lose. Every time, we are going to lose. We can be strong, but we are going to lose. The third part, the boundaries of trials. Then I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians. 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted,
He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. For you that are here tonight, facing any problem, any tribulation, God will provide. God will provide. It's funny because I'm not a sports guy. I have problems with gyms. They are so boring. You have doing exercise for hours and it looks like doesn't change anything. But I see some people like they are very gymy people. Hours. And I see their bodies, wow. In 6 months, they look like a monster. Oh, that's strong. And one day I was talking to my wife, maybe one day I will accomplish that. And then 2 days later, I probably thought, no, forget it, it's impossible. Because it's not for me. It's not for me. It's about burden, it's about trials and tribulation is the same. God will give to you what you can support. Don't worry about that. Because He doesn't want you to be tired. He wants you to look at Him. Not on your problem. You need to look to God. God allows to be tempted, and I put my personal word here, experimented. Maybe it's not the best word, but it's kind of experimentation. Because He knows how far we can endure. The word temptation here is peirasmos. It's much closer about testing and temptation. It's about testing. So we are gonna be tested every day. And I'm gonna say something that might sound weird for you, but it's very real for me, that sometimes I pray and I'm not sure if God is listening. Because sometimes we are so tired of our humanities, of our problems, with our way of doing things, and we actually don't know if God is listening or not. And sometimes, it's about me, I don't know if it's about you, but for me, sometimes like that. I'm so tired, like, I don't know if it's God listening, but I'm gonna pray. Because we are tired. We are exhausted. And then something wonderful happens. Something beyond my control happens. And then this thing reminds me, hey, I'm God. I'm taking care of you. And probably it's already happened to you also. Paul does not say that God will deliver him from the test, but with the proof, He will provide deliverance. Sometimes you want to be free from the test and free from the problem. And we are like that. We would like to be free from the problems, but there is no growth if we don't have a specific pain. There's no pain, no gain, as they say. No pain, no gain. We have to understand what God is doing. Paul here speaks about proofs, temptation, trials. They are inevitable. But God gives us the specific right dose that we can manage and overdo it and overtake it. I give you the example of the vaccine. When you take a vaccine for something, actually you are taking the own disease, right? But in a very small portion that your body is going to create a immune system that is you're going to be prepared for the disease in the future. And I think with the temptation is the same thing. With the trials and tribulations are the same thing. We have the correct dose. We have the correct. Not too much, otherwise we are going to die. Not too few, otherwise we are not going to see. The correct dose for us to grow in our Christian life. Remember, trials and tribulation is not about me. It's about God. It's about how I understand the process. It's about how I participate on the process. It's about how God works and how much God works in me. And my question for you this evening is, how are you tonight? What problems are you facing? What trials are you stepping? What are the things that have made you discouraged in your walk with God? What are the things that keep you from getting near to God? What are the things that are pushing you away from God? Please close your eyes. I don't know how are you tonight. But if you are facing some problem that you are tired, that you are exhausted, there is a limit. And this limit can end tonight. And I'd like to pray for you. If you are in that point, if you are exhausted, if you are tired, please raise your hand. Amen. I'd like to pray for you. Oh Lord, we have some people here that are tired of trying on their ways. We have people here that are exhausted of fighting with some problems that they don't know the solution. But I ask you, Lord, bless them. Be with them. Open their hearts and their minds to know that you have the control. And help them to give you, Lord, the control. Help them to open and to have a new perspective in life. Help them to understand that you are the hope. Amen. Chris, could you